Welcome to Medical Progress, today's Innovative Ideas podcast. Joining us this morning on our conversation is Douglas Holtz Eakin, former director of the Congressional Budget Office and currently president of a new think tank, the American Action Forum. Doug, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Doug, this week we've discovered, much to our chagrin, that the Social Security Trust Fund is going to go into the red this year, about 9 years earlier than the CBO had formally projected, to the tune of, I think, $28 billion, a drop in the bucket in terms of the federal deficit and the long-term deficit of Social Security. But CBO had made its best guess about what the projections for Social Security would be 10 years from now. I think this is timely because we're in the middle of a debate about healthcare, and the CBO has made some projections about Democrats' healthcare plans and the savings that we can expect in the first 10 years and the second 10 years. What kind of caution, fear, prudence should this tell us about attempts to project entitlement spending 10, 20 years down the road?
I think you should have a great trepidation about believing a number 20 years in the future. What the CBO tries to do in its basic projections is to put the number in the middle of the range so that they are just as likely to be too high as to be too low. And what that should tell you is that there is always a substantial chance that you're going to come up short. And in this case, the combination of the recession and the real drop-off in overall revenues has really moved the shortfall in the Social Security Trust Fund up. There was always a very high probability this would happen. And in their more sophisticated analyses, the Social Security or the CBO puts out estimates of the Social Security outlays and revenues that show the probabilities. But Congress has a difficult time really understanding those and using them effectively. When you look at the healthcare debate, you should think about it the same way. What is the substantial probability that it's going to be way more expensive than CBO thinks right now? Well, you've got at least a 50% chance of it being much higher as opposed to lower. And then you have to ask, where's the risk? Would you be safe if it came in much more expensive than we expected? No, I don't think so. In this budgetary environment, we are already running deficits that are over $700 billion every year for the next 10 years and $1 trillion at the end of 10 years. Can we run the risk of putting in new programs that will exacerbate that? I think the answer is no. I think that any sophisticated consumer of the CBO work would recognize that risk, and that a Congress evaluating what is the likely outcome of making a mistake would step back and not really pursue this path.
Does it also give us some insight into how we're structuring this and setting up traps for ourselves further down the line? For instance, the Social Security Trust Fund, quote unquote, is actually filled with Treasury bonds, as I understand it, that Congress then uses the money that they take from it for current spending and puts in an IOU for later. Does Medicare's Trust Fund face the same kind of accounting issue?
I think there are two lessons. Number one, these accounting issues can be terribly deceptive. Medicare has a trust fund for the hospital part, but not for the rest. That hospital trust fund's already been running negative for years. So Medicare is a drain on the general treasury. Social Security is about to become a drain on the general treasury. And on top of that, we're going to layer two new entitlements created in this healthcare bill, which will be further drains on the treasury. So if you're a Social Security aficionado, you should understand that Social Security is under financial attack, not just from the aging of the population and not just from the economy going south, but from the presence of new entitlements that are going to compete for exactly the same dollars.
And this is an issue that's come up in trying to pin down the legislation on this particular issue, which is, are you shoring up Medicare's long-term deficit, or are you using the money to fund a new entitlement that you can't double count the funding? And the CBO has actually weighed in on this.
The CBO has weighed in, and the Congress is desperately trying to double count. They're trying to say, look, we're going to bring in new revenues into the Medicare Trust Fund. So they have a surtax. The money will flow in. We will add additional safety to Medicare. But they're going to turn right around, take it out, and pay for a new entitlement program with it. So they haven't really done anything to shore up the Medicare program. Instead, they've created a new tax and spend entitlement program that will be a drain in the future.
So the position we're going to be in is we're going to have two old entitlements that are in the red, Social Security and Medicare, and a new entitlement, new insurance entitlement, that is most likely going to go into the red pretty quickly, given that demand for these things is always more than we expect.
Yes, and my great fear is that if we go down this route, not only will we have created a new entitlement program that further threatens our finances, we will have in the process so exhausted the Congress and so tied up the politics of Medicare that we'll be unable to undertake real reforms to the existing entitlement programs. If you look at the bill, there are lots of changes to Medicare. I'd say for probably the next 5 years, Congress is going to take one look at any Medicare reform proposal and say, no, 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 we just did Medicare. We can't do that right now. And so we will put on hold reforms we really need.
For members of the House and the Senate who are thinking about whether or not they should vote for the new healthcare, quote unquote, reforms, this new entitlement program, what would you tell them that they need to keep in mind about the fiscal position of the U.S. government and what impact that should have on their votes?
I think what they need to keep in mind is that there is now a substantial probability that the fiscal position of the government will engender a genuine financial market crisis, that if we layer on additional spending, we run enormous debts that international creditors say, hey, tough. And that will deliver the kind of pain we've just been through once again. There's no bill that the Congress can pass that will ameliorate that kind of pain. They are putting us at risk.
So I think Moody's actually this week issued a comment that the U.S.'s fiscal position was not sustainable in the long term without some significant adjustments, and that our credit rating could be at risk in the next few years. So it could come very quickly.
Going back to 2003, when I was at CBO, the credit rating agencies would come in and they'd say, you know, how does this add up? And I'd say, well, it just doesn't. It's going to have to change. And the presumption has always been, oh, the U.S. will get its act together. It'll slow the growth of spending. It'll get rid of these large deficits. If we pass this bill, we will have taken a decisive step in the wrong direction, and the credit rating agencies and markets in general will have to doubt the ability of the U.S. to take its future under control.
Well, that's a dire warning. I hope Congress takes that into account as it's thinking about the legislation it's considering right now. Doug, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.